I connected with Mark Stevens, so I can.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, we're getting underway. It's August, it's still Tuesday, August 1st, 2017. It is 2:02. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a legal counsel update. We've got a pretty short agenda, but some meaty items. First is intergovernmental agreement with the City of Grants Pass for emergency management services. I'm going to lead off on this from the standpoint that as liaison to the emergency services, we've had some conversations about how to fill the intern position and such, and really looking at all options on the table. I think the one that has been floating out there that probably retains the most authority for Josephine County but provides us with a level that we can recruit and retain a person of the caliber that we're looking at as our number one interviewer is providing this. I think this makes a lot of sense from a continuity and of consistency of emergency management, but just Mr. Hicks, Councilor Hicks is bringing this to the board as a start based on a conversation I had with the city manager of Grants Pass talking about how do we improve emergency management in Josephine County holistically from both a city and a county perspective and get a really high quality candidate. And this is a really rough draft. Is it in our?
It's not. This
no,
is all off the press.
No, totally fine.
So only in paper format.
That's totally fine. Yeah. I think we wouldn't want, you know, I just wanted to have Councilor Hicks bring with this before the board before we move too far down this path, which I think was your guys' recommendation for how do we work this out. I haven't had any other conversations with Jackson County on this subject of what we were talking about, maybe doing a regional emergency services project. It's all in-house, in-county, same person, and Aaron was very receptive to the idea, wants a copy of an IGA draft that he can put in, you know, the five deliverables or whatever that he wants to see from a city's perspective. And we talked about a financial compensation as part of that. I don't know if it's the total budget that they have already. I told them a couple numbers that we needed to achieve to make a pencil for us, for that person to have that added responsibility in the program here. Sounded fine to him, you know, so we're in that ballpark. I think I'd leave it up to him to give me a specific number, and then we'll tell him whether or not that works for us or not. He knows based on our conversation. So what we're looking at is just a draft to get started on to move forward. So
this leaves it. This leaves it all here. We're not out of joint with Jackson.
They're our employee. Right. They work for the county. They answer to nobody but the county, but they have the interest of the city in providing similar tabletop exercises, administration of the program here.
Now they have an emergency management
designee.
Yeah, and I think it's the assistant city manager.
It might be something we want to work out in the IGA that we help guide, you know, who I'm thinking about providing in-house, in-county backup in the event that our emergency services manager is unavailable, goes on vacation during a situation. We would always have a county rep designated as that backup person. That's either the chair or the liaison, the commissioner on call. Either one of those are just fine. But
staff-wise, Public Works and Search and Rescue have tended to fill some of those roles as the ones most responsive in those areas.
Yep. We've even had Robert Rice in Building and Safety because he had an interest in stuff. So when we stood up the EOC 2 years ago, he was one of the members of the kind of a team of core managers that can kind of fill in that role. They don't have the same level of expertise as an emergency services person, but then neither does the board members. I mean, nobody's going to understand it the way they do.
Well, I'm in favor of some redundancy in that area because, like I said, I sit in a room with, you got to put all your eggs in one person, and that person's underneath a pile of rubble right here. What do you do?
Or
that person's on vacation or whatever.
Or they're on a surfboard in Mexico.
Yeah, or
they're unavailable.
Yeah, they're unavailable. So I think redundancy is even better.
They're not allowed to be under a pile of rubble.
Yeah,
I forbid it.
Oh, that's okay. It's a little grim, but we're, you know, they're not here.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And so this would also
encourage more.
I think we could provide some, you know, encouraging backup opportunities, and that certainly would make it more seamless if we were training under the same person.
I would entertain us also pursuing the city of Cave Junction. We're their current provider of this service, but it would be appropriate as the remaining city that is in our area to see if they would want us to also not be left out of this opportunity.
I think something along the conversations, I don't disagree with that at all. I think it's just a matter of resources allocation, and I don't know that the city of Cave Junction might have that. What I received in preliminary conversations with the city of Grants Pass was that we already make up what right now is probably $2.6 billion of taxable assets that the county appreciates at 58 cents per thousand. The general fund does support this program, so by default, City of Grants Pass is already paying for this. He said, yes, and you're going to get that level of service. What you're paying for right now is a higher level of service and training. All of that interaction that's above the response of the emergency service manager in the event of an emergency in Grants Pass. That's what you're paying for. And so it's kind of like the sheriff. He's going to be there if there's a problem in Grants Pass, but he's not your number one. And this makes it more of that closer number one place to be. So I think
a skin in the game.
We should totally offer it to the city of Cave Junction, but it might be a resource issue. We have to see what.
I imagine the city of Cave Junction's continuation of operations plan will be at a smaller scale.
Yeah.
Looking at their entire budget and how many employees they have. I don't believe that they would necessarily, but they already fall under emergency operations. Mm-hmm. So they're already with us. But is there something that they should be considered in this if we're offering to one city? I don't want to leave them out.
Do you want a copy of this IGA to get started? Or do you want us to just provide
it? Is it different than this one that's here?
No. Okay, so we'll provide this copy on Thursday. We'll have a chance to discuss this before. That's when I told Mr. Kubik, he'd have an opportunity to look at just our rough draft, you know.
Discussion point. For the scope of work, I basically cut and pasted the job description without more specificity. So
that's fine.
They'll know what it is we do now, and they can maybe check off what it is we need to do for them.
Yep.
So, okay.
In the interim, we are still working under an IGA with Jackson County to provide for emergency services management, no cost to the county. We're going to need to talk about, at some point, how do we move forward with executing, you know, the job offer. Is it contingent on this, or is it not, and do we do it, and then make that adjustment salary-wise when this happens, stuff like that.
Is Jackson County putting pressure on us to do something different at this time?
They have expressed, through their emergency services manager, they're very interested in the original proposal, which is basically what we would be doing with Grants Pass, except we are not in charge. Jackson County, we would be contracting with Jackson County for that service. I just didn't feel that the board was receptive to that, and if ideally we can make this work, I think it works better for the person that we're looking to retain, and it covers our interests better. It may not be, and the only argument that I have against it is it may not be better for necessarily our program. With this, we get this one person, and that's it, unless we appropriate more general funds. With that scenario, we get that person as much as we get that person. I don't think it's a 50-50 spread, but we can figure out what that ratio is. But we also get somebody here, so you get there's a duplication in that respect, and there's positives to it, but I
remember watching the City of Grants Pass partnership with the joint task force, the cybercrime task force in Central Point, that was involved with the feds and the locals and stuff like that. And what we found is we didn't feel like our detective was really giving time to us for our portion. They were mostly assigned to what was going on over there. And it was one of those things that we were debating continuing in the agreement. I do hear you. I have to say
that
as a county, we are much more efficient and much more frugal and much more effective in some things that we do because of our island status and not having neighbors to rely on. My concern would be the methodology over there is not one of frugality, and it may cost us more in the end to get what we actually want.
That's an argument the other way too, because when we have an issue over here, we get, they come over with their shower trailer and all of the bells and whistles that they have allocated their Title III 2008 funds to spending on for years and years. And I'm not so sure we prioritize as well. The only reason this scenario, in my mind, even is entertained for Jackson County is because of the person in that position, and their heart is always going to be here. It's mm-hmm. here, she's here, whether...
I hear you.
You know what I mean? It doesn't transcend that person. The nice thing is she's going to be around for a little while. She loves that job. She loves the area, you know, barring any unforeseen. And when that happens... No hard feelings. We go back to where we were. So, or even if we tried it for a year. I'm not arguing for that because I think I like this one better. I'm just saying that that one has a lot of merit. Despite everybody's reservations and stuff, I could have worked probably just fine.
We can make anything work, but I think the ideal is to have her here.
Yep.
You know, working for Josephine County, and if she can have a City of Grants Pass aspect, and they say yes to this, I think it's a win.
Yeah, that's what
I do agree with Commissioner Morgan. I'd like to hear what Cape Junction has to say. Even, you know, they don't have, maybe don't have the resources to dedicate to something like this, but maybe they have a person that they would like to put in charge out there that becomes their liaison to this document.
They have that. We have that. That's part of our plan. She replaced Ryan Nolan in the clerk's position there at the City of Cape Junction. Really nice lady, been there for a long time, and her name's escaping me at the moment. Really nice lady. So they chose to replace Ryan Nolan internally, and I think it was a good fit. So,
don't let me forget to ask about our weekly business session in Cape Junction next Wednesday.
Good question.
Okay, so where is the status of this? It's not been presented to the city.
Nope, you have until Thursday to review this really, really rough draft. I haven't seen it, so I'll take a look at it. We'll provide edits on Thursday. We'll get it to them Thursday afternoon after that.
Is there a way you can email it?
I will. I'll email it. Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
Great.
Awesome. Thank you for thinking outside the box with that. Yeah.
Okay, next is matters from commissioners. Anything from Commissioner DeYoung? Anything from Commissioner Morgan?
I just want to remind us that we had said we were going to do our weekly business session, evening session, at the Cape Junction County Building next Wednesday, the 9th. I don't know what we need to do to prepare for that, but it's certainly getting notification out. It'd probably be appropriate to let the radio know and... city and all that other kind of stuff that we were planning on doing that. So notification this week so people can prepare next week would be appropriate. I personally had forgotten until I just remembered.
Okay.
Do we know of any issues that we can address while we're out there?
Well, I think the citizens will let us know, but I'm looking more from a logistical standpoint. We need to record. It's an evening meeting, is that what we said?
Mm-hmm.
It's 6 or 5:30? 5, you know.
It just, we hadn't officially done anything with it, I don't think.
Oh. Is this the right meeting to do it at? If you have a meeting in Cape Junction and nobody knows about it, does it matter?
That's why I'm saying we need to get the word out.
Okay. So you're a yay for keeping it going. You're okay with?
I'm cool. Yeah.
Okay, we'll be there. And do you guys have a particular time you'd like to meet?
5:30 or 6, whatever.
5:30 or 6. It matters not to me.
Well, that's, we can keep consistent and say 5:30 is just fine.
Okay.
Okay, so we need to advertise as such. And you and I need to work on logistics as far as recording and sound. if that's necessary. So, okay. You were going to, we talked about maybe providing a thumbnail sketch of the Linn County situation.
Yes, I can do that. All right. Trust lands lawsuit initiated by Linn County. There are, I think, 18 counties and an abundance of other districts involved in this lawsuit. Okay, the judge, I sent out an email to you about a month ago stating that the judge had ruled for the counties and our allies on all preliminary points, which meant that the case at that moment was, and actually currently still is, scheduled to go to trial. Well, then about a week later, the judge flip-flopped and reversed on a couple of his earlier rulings, issuing a letter opinion, which would have essentially torpedoed the case. That sent the county councils, working with Mr. DiLorenzo, who's representing the class in this case, into strategizing mode. And, well, I'll spare you on, under the circumstances, I'll spare you on what exactly we discussed. But suffice to say, we came up with a strategy. Well, just after doing that, the judge went ahead and flopped again and ruled for the counties on all preliminary actions.
They flipped a second time?
I kid you not.
I did not know that.
Hardly the Rock of Gibraltar. So anyway, what this has done, I believe, is opened up the an opportunity for the state to file an interlocutory appeal before it goes to trial. And in all actuality, this could delay the case by about 2 years. So, So
well, we're never really looking at a payout. I don't think Josephine County's looking to get money. We're looking to get those yellow spots on that map. And that's probably going to be, you know, a settlement agreement with the state that says, you know, we'll do these things. We're not going to be in the forest management business anymore. We're going to let this county's, you know, elect to either choose, have the state do it, or the counties take on that program. Some counties probably won't elect to do it. They have nothing. Bending County has no interest in managing timber, and they have no competency in it. But Douglas, Coos, Curry County probably wants theirs. Hood River County, for sure. There's a couple of counties that we're in the business. We'd love to have those big square yellow blocks. So that would be ours. I would settle. You know, you don't owe me a dime, because the dime is sitting still out there because they haven't harvested it in the last, I guess we're talking about 15 years or something, 20 years, something like that.
So yes, that's right.
It's a significant amount of time that there hasn't been harvest on the forest. So
yes,
you know, some of it died, some of it rotted, but sustained yield says that there's still...
How do the other counties feel about it? Do they have a pretty good size inventory of yellow blocks in there?
We are the smallest out of all 17, 15... Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But the other counties, have you been in contact with them to say, hey, we're going to take all the yellows?
Well, they were very excited about the legislation that Carl Wilson was proposing. You know, originally it was all those counties with less than 10% would still hold their holdings. I was like, no, that wasn't my intent. It was the opposite. With less than 10% of the state's holdings, which was about 5, they would get their stuff. And everybody else wants... A lot of them want their stuff back. So they had to choose and elect today. I don't think they would give it over to the state. So anyway.
I agree.
We'll let them choose. I think the settlement would be individual. I don't really see a whole lot of money coming down for us or really anybody. It's not really necessarily about the money. It's the management that is lacking. The kicker will be in that settlement agreement, because right now every special district potentially has an interest in that. That's not the way our county forest lands work. So when they release these, I don't want to manage all the risks, all the management, headache, staff, responsibility, and then have to cut them a check at the end of the day. So if I'm not here, you guys are pushing for it coming right back to the county like every other county land that we have, because that's how I understand it, how it originated.
Yes, that's how it originated.
The reason we have the most holdings and the least state holdings is because we elected not to give them as much to manage back in the day. I could be wrong on that, because those are sections that could have been allocated to the state in the formation of the state, right?
I don't think that's what's at issue here.
I don't think so either.
Tax foreclosed properties from basically the 1930s.
Right.
And, it didn't, for whatever reason, it didn't happen as often here as it happened in other parts of the state.
I think we had plenty of foreclosed properties. We just chose not to in that conveyance probably. And the creation of the Oregon State Forest Trust lands, we said we'd give you, you know, those seven big parcels and a couple of others. We'll manage the rest on our own. Or they happened after the, our tax foreclosed properties that we operate on. That's probably how it happened. Happened after the Oregon State Forest Trust lands were created. Something like that. Mike, you
that
should
that would make
know.
Sense.
Eventually.
What year
would you
did
mind?
You go and see?
Well, that's 1937, but that's different than this.
Okay, so the State Forest Trust received these properties in what year?
I don't know.
It was 30s and 40s over the course
Let's
of time.
Let's look into it. I'd like to know.
We were taking tons. We were taking 600 and 700 properties a year back during that period of time.
Yeah.
And most of it was forest land. Yeah. People were coming in, stripping the timber, and walking away.
Yep. And why would they want to keep paying taxes on it?
In fact, this parcel that we have on the auction next Tuesday was obtained in 1930.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll work on anything else. I think we're good. So, with nothing else, at 2:22, the board will now go into an executive session pertaining to item number 3, A, confidential memo regarding letter from Mercy Flights regarding termination of contract with AMR under ORS 182.6602F and H. Item number 3B is offer to purchase county building located at 102 Southwest Redwood Highway under ORS 192.6602E. And then item number 3C is confidential memo dated 7/5/2017 regarding transient lodging tax under ORS 192.6602F. This provides and gives the authority for the board to meet in executive session. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of executive session, we will open the doors and welcome the audience back into the room. And there's no media present. This time the recorder will be turned off at 2:23.
It is 3:34. We are back in public session. Regarding executive session, the confidential memo regarding letter from Mercy Flight regarding termination of contract with AMR. Staff has been given direction on where to go regarding that with letters to community partners and kind of where we're at with that. So you're under understanding of what we would like to go forward with,
yes.
Right?
Yes, I am.
Councilor Hicks. Okay, and then we've given staff direction on the offer to purchase the county building located at 102 South Redwood Highway. And we are prolonging the confidential memo regarding transient lodging tax for another day.
Yes.
That will be rescheduled.
Yeah, I'm not even sure it needs to be confidential at this point. I think we just wanted to give the opportunity. These two have talked about it in public already. But
oh, okay.
We wanted to put it on because it's not a full discussion yet.
Got it.
So.
Okay, so the only...
But we are going to put it on for a future agenda. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll put
okay.
it on. Okay.
So with that, there's no action to be taken as far as direction is clear. Do you have any other further items? One that I have for you is the ninth will not work for a meeting. Every Wednesday, Meals and Wheels has the county building from 9 to 12 in the morning. And the Baptist church that leases the building has it every Wednesday evening. So apparently... Unless we change the time to afternoon, perchance, I'm not sure that we would be able to use that building for afternoon weekly business session. So we're going to keep looking at a time to do that in Cave Junction. So, seeing no other business, we're adjourned at 3:36.